Welcome to The Right Kind of Book Talk. I'm your host, Stacey Beck. Did you have an excellent reading week? What did you do this weekend? I swear I did not get enough sleep with school, swimming lessons, and bookish business. And I also woke up to snow. Yeah, so I'm not impressed. But today isn't about me. It's all about bookish social media. It's March 11th, 2025. Episode 18. BookTok made me do it, the role that social media plays on our book buying habits. As some huge butthole told me on Facebook, the reason I don't read hype books is because, wait for it, drum roll please, I'm old. Wow. Wow to be an ageist. I tried to explain that I have been disappointed too many times, but she still went with that I'm an old fart. Nice. I really actually didn't take it personally because, let's face it, I am old. So what did I do? I do what I always do, and I pose the question on my socials. What BookTok book did you read and did you enjoy it? But before we dive into the books of BookTok, let's see what books you can get today.
Yeah.
It's publication day. Killed Me First by John Mars, and that's a psychological thriller. What Wakes the Bells by Elle Teske, and that's a young adult fantasy book. All the Other Mothers Hate Me by Sarah Harman, and that one is a mystery thriller. My Big Fat Fake Marriage by Charlotte Stein, and it's a contemporary romance. Fan Service by Rachel Denham, and it's a paranormal romance. Homegrown Magic by Jamie Patton, and it's a romanticy. The Antidote by Karen Russell, and that one is a historical fiction. Ooh, what a good week. So, where do people tend to go for their book recs now? I mostly see BookTok made me do it, but I actually found that a lot of people actually use their Facebook groups. They will post a book they enjoyed and ask for recommendations that are similar to it. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of people do get their books from BookTok and Bookstar. Bookstar did tend to come last in the list, believe it or not. But it did make me wonder how we ended up here. Before social media, people primarily discovered books to read through recommendations from their friends or their family, librarians, book reviews in newspapers. I actually didn't even know that was a thing. And magazines. Browsing through their local bookstores. And relying on the reputation of authors that they had already enjoyed, often visiting libraries to access a wider selection of titles. I know my uncle used to get his book choices from the New York Times bestseller list, and he also worked in a comic book store on the weekends, and it was always stocked with the newest book releases. Now, I asked this quick sidebar. If you use the library, do you ask the librarian for book recommendations? And it blew me away what I found out. Only 16 people out of the 107 people that answered said yes. And each one of these people were over the age of 40. Now, I use the Libby app, but even they have a selection of books recommended by librarians, and I do dabble in it sometimes. But I'm realizing now that librarians are so underutilized, and that made me really sad inside. Things have changed so much in the last 20 years. The biggest gripe people have with social media and reading habits seems to be how social media has affected reading. Things like shortened attention spans. Social media platforms and video sharing websites thrive on quick, easily digestible content. Children get used to consuming information in these little bite-sized pieces, making it challenging for them to focus on longer texts, like books, or even full-length articles. Yeah, I can definitely see that that would be a problem, but there are some pluses too. Like social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter, particularly through communities like BookTok and Bookstagram, have significantly contributed to a resurgence in reading popularity by making book recommendations, the reviews, and book discussions more accessible and basically cool for a wider audience. Essentially making reading seem trendy again. The biggest thing are the viral BookTok recommendations, the whole BookTok made me do it era. Social media allows for rapid sharing of book recommendations, often leading to sudden spikes in popularity for specific titles. Sometimes these books deserve it, but other times, not so much. It just takes the right person going viral to make really disappointed people on the internet. I find that this way of getting book recommendations has also paved the way for independent authors to be seen online. And thanks to platforms like Kindle Unlimited, we get easy access to authors we wouldn't even have known about otherwise. And I love that. I feel like the whole world of books and authors are right within touching distance. And it definitely makes for a much more vast reading repertoire. It also builds community. Online book communities provide a space for readers to connect, share their opinions, and discover new books based on other people's experiences. People post beautiful pictures and reels that are aesthetically appealing to people. People will often post images of their bookshelves or where they read, creating a visual aesthetic that can make reading seem more desirable. Or they have books with flowers around them. I love those. Sometimes people even build a setup by the theme of the book. People really show their artistic sides online, and there is a definite audience for them. The accessibility of social media makes it easy to access book reviews and discussions from a diverse range of perspectives. This is key, as lots of readers consider themselves introverted, and this takes the anxiety out of the face-to-face contact. The one thing I do really enjoy is that a lot of upcoming readers admit that if it wasn't for BookTok and Bookstagram, they may never have become avid readers. And now that's a win in my book. They don't feel like it's so nerdy or something to be ashamed of. They can connect with readers from all over the world. And my friends, that's amazing. That is incredible. The reach we have nowadays is incredible. Just think, the hashtag BookTok on TikTok has amassed over 309 billion views with nearly 38 million posts, indicating a massive community of users actively participating in BookTok discussions and content creations. This highlights the significant reach of the BookTok community on TikTok alone. Now, that is a ton of readers, and they are just the ones using that hashtag. Now, I often change mine up, so I don't use the same hashtags every time. So there are times that I don't even use the BookTok hashtag when I could, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Now, if you're looking for bookish content on BookTok or Bookstar, or even Blue Sky X, Facebook, whatever, the best hashtags to use on all of them to find the reader content you're looking for are BookTok, Bookstagram, Books, Book Lover, Book, Book Recommendations, Bookish, Bookstagram, Bookworm, Reading, Book Review, Book Addict, Book Nerd, Books, one of my favorites, Readers of Instagram, Book Community, Romance Books, Book Blogger, Romance, Read, Bookshelf, Bibliophile, Reader, Fantasy, or any genre you can stick in there, Book Rex, Kindle Unlimited, Books of Instagram, Book Club, Book Photography, Book Lovers, Book Haul, Fantasy Books, TBR, Read More Books, Book Love, FYP, Bookstar, Dark Romance, Bookaholic, Goodreads, Book Aesthetics, Instabook, Bookgram, Spicy Books, Book Obsessed, Book Sale, if that's what you're looking for, Fiction, Book Talker, Bookstack Author. You can literally throw any of these or any other bookish hashtag into the search bar on Instagram or TikTok, and you can find users who have used these hashtags. Now, it's normally the most popular accounts that are going to be shown in your feed first, but it will really open you up to things you may not have known to go looking for. Hashtags are a really great way of finding new content, new books, new book talkers, new bookstagrammers. It's perfect. Facebook users had some interesting books they bought because of BookTok or Bookstagram. So let's see whether or not BookTok Made Me Do It is worth it. Now I'm going to start with Lights Out, an Into Darkness novel by Nevissa Allen. Now this book literally came up the most. Like, it was the top pick out of everybody. Now, Lifestyle is a fast-paced dark romance with morally gray male lead. Some themes and scenes may be disturbing to readers, so check the triggers. The rating on Goodreads is 4.2 out of 5. Almost everybody on Facebook gave it a 5-star. Now, if you like smutty books, this one is probably a win for you. Now, I noticed that the same 5 authors came up time and time again. And when I checked BookTok, yep, they are recommended a ton. And I mean a ton. Elsie Silver, Tessa Bailey, Lucy Scott, Sarah Adams, and Sarah J. Maas. These ones were all fan favorites. Now, I like Tess Bailey. I like Sarah Adams, but I would not have said these are 5-star authors. But I really love how different we all are. Now, Verity by Colleen Hoover. This one came up a ton too, but nearly everybody who posted it gave it 1-star. And I get it. I get why. I really do. It has some serious grammar issues, and it truly was not brilliant. Like, everybody that loved it, it's bizarre, okay? And I also fell into the hype, and the first time around, I really did enjoy it. But when I reread it, I was like, what was I thinking? Like, oh my God, it was garbage. Now, something I noticed, if you are a dark romance smut reader, there seems to be the most popular books on BookTok are aimed at you. If you're that kind of reader, you can't really go wrong with any of the recommendations that people are throwing out on there. So all these spicy recs on Facebook got 5-stars from pretty much everybody, okay? Now, I have read some of these, but not all. But I'm just going to give you the list, okay? How My Neighbor Stole Christmas by Megan Quinn. I started it. I didn't finish it. And it's not a DNF, though. I will come back to it eventually. I got busy. Okay, I got busy. The Pumpkin Spice Cafe series by Laurie Gilmore. I just started the series. Just started it. Butcher and the Blackbird, the Ruinous Love series by Brim Weaver. I enjoyed it. You might not look at food the same again, though. The Gods and Monsters series by Amber V. Nicole. Hunting Adeline, the Cat and Mouse duology by H.D. Carlton. That one did come up a lot. The Priest book series by Sierra Samar. The Mindfuck series by C.M. Owens and S.T. Abbey. It Happened One Summer by Tess Bailey. Twisted Love, the Twisted series by Anna Huang. The Deal by L. Kennedy. Icebreaker, that's Maple Hill series by Hannah Grace. Credence by Penelope Douglas. I did not enjoy that one at all. Hooked, the Never After series by Emily McIntyre. Her Soul to Take by Harley LaRue. This one was like a BookTok sensation, okay? And she actually managed to get published by a publishing company in the end. Desperate Measures by Katie Roberts. Okay, now it's not just smut that's over there, okay? It is heavy on the smut. It really is, but you can use any hashtag to move away from that. So let's move into romantic BookTok recs. I think I'm going to shorten this down to just the top 5, or we will be here all day. So don't forget the romantic books are fantasy and romance rolled into one for those of you that's not familiar with the genre. The Empyrean series. Now, this series floods my FYP page a lot. And in case you don't know what that means, it's basically short for you page, which is what TikTok creates based on what videos you are watching and liking. Now, I love the series, and I know a lot of people do too. If you love dragons and romance, okay, not people loving dragons, okay? It's not like that at all. I mean, people loving people. This series is a real winner. Powerless by Lauren Roberts. I see this one a lot, but I haven't dabbled myself yet. It seems like a series where the plague killed some people, but the survivors managed to get powers. They are the only acceptable people, and the ordinary people are banished. It sounds pretty interesting, I'm not going to lie. The Serpent and the Wings of Night by Carissa Broadbent. This book is loaded with heart-wrenching romance, dark magic, and bloodthirsty intrigue. Woo! The Shepherd King duology by Rachel Gillig. It's also on the darker romanticist side of the genre, okay? So essentially, the main character has to go on a quest to cure the kingdom of the dark magic infecting it. Now, I almost bought these two books based on TikTok. Apparently, book one is brilliant and book two is a flopper. So you've been warned. Caraval by Stephanie Garber. I love this book, but I could not get into book two and I didn't finish it. Caravelle is basically a week-long audience participation magical extravaganza, and the winner gets a prize at the end, but you can trust nothing while the games are being played. I really enjoyed the book as a standalone, so you don't have to read book two if you don't want to. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't. Okay. Let's move into the top five in fantasy books that Book Talk made me do it. A Song of Ice and Fire, which is the Game of Thrones series. George R. R. Martin, okay? I got off the Martin train after he still hasn't released book six after 12 years. If you don't know Game of Thrones, you must be living under a rock, okay? Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo. Okay, this duology was one I sank my teeth into, and I enjoyed the ever-loving heck out of it. So it's about six outcasts doing one impossible heist. Now, these two books are part of the Grishaverse, which I did not read any of the other books first. You don't need to. It's a really well-paced duology. Mistborn, The Final Empire by Brandon Sanderson. So this series is about a secret group who are trying to overthrow a dystopian empire. Now, it's on my list. Has been for quite some time, but the books are pretty big. And yet I haven't had the gumption to read them yet. Well, but not yet. The Poppy War by R.F. Kuang. I loved Babel, okay? So I am going to give this one a go. It's all about the bloody history of China and it's filled with magic and treachery. It's military based, which is really intriguing for a fantasy book. The House in the Carillion Sea by T.J. Klune. Oh my God, I love this book and its sequel. It's about magical orphans all living on an island with an agency breathing down their necks because people fear them. It's a beautiful story. You've heard me say this before. This one, I totally agree, is a Book Talk favorite and it's also one of mine. Let's do thrillers next. The top five Book Talk made me do it books. Grey After Dark. Noelle W. Eilie wrote this one. This book is about an athlete and she takes a summer job in the wilderness at a guest lodge. She is abducted and she's in a race for survival. I'm still waiting on my library haul for this book. Like, seriously, man. I wished I had an unlimited budget. The Other Passenger by J.E. Roney. This book does not have a good rating on Goodreads, okay? But the Book Talk gods disagree with it. It's a psychological thriller about two people who meet on a deserted road in the middle of the night, both running from something. My library doesn't even have it, so I can't comment on whether it's good or not, which is a bar. Like, seriously, somebody needs to send me books. Maybe I should make a wish list and you can all send me books. The Silent Patient by Alex Michaelides. You know how I feel about this book, okay? I have not been quiet. But millions of people don't agree with me, okay? So it's basically about a patient who stops talking after murdering her husband. And a psychotherapist is trying to find out why she is mute and what possessed her to kill her husband. The Good Lie by A.R. Torres is a psychological crime thriller about a serial killer who murders teenage boys in L.A. My library yet again let me down, okay? This section is definitely Book Talk is kind of making me do it just a tiny bit. The Housemaid by Freda McFadden. This was one of the very first book tour books that I ever read. And it's a huge series now. People love it. But I'm biased because I love my Freda. The Housemaid follows Millie, a down-on-her-luck woman living in her car. She needs a job and somehow gets hired as a housemaid for a wealthy family. It's really good, okay? It's really good. The whole storyline just blew me away. All right, well, let's move on. Let's do the top five romance books. Book Talk Made Me Do It edition. You know what? If you're not creating a TBR out of my lists, you really should be. It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover. This really irritates me, okay? Because I do not feel like this is a romance book. I hate that it's listed this way. So Lily watches her father abuse her mother, then finds a man who also abuses her. I don't see the romance here at all, but it's the top pick for romance that wasn't smut on Book Talk. X's and O's by Amy Lee. This book is on my radar, but it wasn't because of BookTok. I've literally had a hot library hold on it since it came out. So Tara is a stage 5 clinger. I love that. I love that they call her that. And her last 10 exes prove it. She decides to see if she can get a second chance romance with one of them with the help of her roommate. And it looks totally adorable. Love on the Brain by Ali Hazelwood. I adore this book. And I can see why it's hyped up on BookTok. If you love books with STEM rep, this has to be your next read. It's a really cute enemies to lovers work rivalry romance book. First Time Caller by BK Barson. And this one is also on my radar, thanks to Bookstagram. And it's like a Sleepless in Seattle inspired book, and it also looks supersonic cute, okay? Just for the Summer by Ali Jimenez. Both the MCs have this curse. Once they date someone, that person they've dated then goes on to find their soulmate right away. So they decide to date each other to see if they can find their soulmates, but they end up growing close during their like fake dating relationship thing. So things they have to do for the curse to like it activate. It was so cute. It was so cute. Like I swooned so much. That's probably one of my favorites. Read it, read it. Okay, let's do top 5 historical fiction books. BookTok made me do it edition. The Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller. Now, this book is like a Greek mythology favorite and is set during the time of the Trojan Wars. I didn't love it. This book, I didn't love it. I did just get the audiobook from the library. I want to see if it was just me 5 years ago, whether I was just indifferent to it because I wasn't ready for it. I guess we'll see. All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr. This book is set during World War II and it's about a blind French girl and a German boy who find each other in occupied France while trying to survive the devastation of the war. And oh my God, I really wanted to love this book. I did, but it was so bloody slow, okay? And I get that historical fictions tend to be a slower pace, but I couldn't handle it. I couldn't stop. I read it, but I did not enjoy it. The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid. And I'm actually surprised it was this one and not Daisy Jones. Not that I didn't love the Evan loving crap out of this book. It's not talked about half as much. And I also heard they were making a TV show out of it, which I'm very excited for. This book is about the reclusive movie icon Evelyn Hugo. And it's basically her tell-all story of her life. It was bloody awesome. Awesome. Outlander by Diana Gabaldon. Claire is a nurse and she's just been reunited with her husband after the Second World War. But when she touches a rock, she's transported back in time and she literally has 2 lifelines and 2 loves. I really tried with this series. I made it through 2 books. I'm waiting for the audiobooks now because I'm going to give those a chance instead because I really enjoyed the show and these books are totally in my wheelhouse. So I don't know why I didn't enjoy them, but I don't know. I'm going to give the audios a shot. The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah. Oh my God, this book is in the top 10 of all time for me, okay? I don't think I've ever silently sobbed for so long while reading a book. The book is about the different paths that 2 sisters take during the war. One fights for her country in the way that she can, and the other has to take in a Nazi while protecting her child. It was a powerfully heartbreaking read. Okay, Stacey, don't cry. Don't cry. Moving on. Let's do the top 5 young adult books. BookTok made me do it edition. I'm actually kind of enjoying myself. The Fault in Our Stars by John Green. Do you know what I understand now? BookTokers either like dirty, dirty smut and they want to be horny or they want to ugly effing cry. This book destroyed me. It's about a girl. Her name's Hazel. She's 16 and she's dying of cancer and she falls in love with Augustus, who is also very sick. They want to be teenagers. They want to be normal. They want to try and live what little is left of their lives. Okay. The book hurt me so bad. You've been warned. I recommend it, but you have been warned. Divine Rivals by Rebecca Ross. It's one of my favorite duologies. So it's about two rival journalists fighting for the same stories during a magical war. So the gods have basically woken up and they're back at war again. And they both won the byline. It's well worth the read. It's well worth the read. Ooh, The Inheritance Games by Jennifer Lynn Barnes. Now, this series was a twisty, turny game of chance. It was awesome. Avery is just about surviving with her sister and cannot wait for college. It's just the two of them. It comes out left field when Tobias Hawthorne dies and leaves his fortune to her. She's never met this dude, right? It's going to come hard. There are games afoot. I was hooked. It was well worth the read, okay? Well worth the read. Shatter Me series by Tahara Mafi. Okay, I think I said that right. Tahara Mafi. So Julia is a teenage girl with power to kill with her touch. She's been locked away. The reestablishment is a dictatorship rolling over the ashes of humanity. When they decide to use her as a weapon, Juliet knows she would rather be dead than hurt anyone. I'm really ambivalent about this series. I liked some of it a lot. And some things really irritated me. And yet I still read all 9 books. The Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Myers. These are basically fairy tale retellings. Like Cinder is all about a cyborg. So Cinder is a cyborg who has to deal with her wicked stepmother. It's been on my radar for a while, but I still haven't seen anything to make me want to read it right now. So not even book talk could make me do it here. So I did that. Let's do the top 5 mystery books. Book talk made me do it edition. A Good Girl's Guide to Murder by Holly Jackson. Now, I have talked about this series before. It's a really solid trilogy. Pippa grew up in a small town that was consumed by the case of schoolgirl Andy Bell, who was allegedly murdered by Sal Singh, her boyfriend. The case is closed. Everyone knows Sal did it. But Pippa is not so sure, and she'll stop at nothing to get the truth. Now, it is a young adult, but it is really worth the investment in your time to give it a shot. Trust me, okay? I massively enjoyed it. One of Us is Lying by Karen M. McManus is about 5 students at Bayview High who walked into detention. One of them will not make it out alive. No one knows what happened in that room and how the one student died except for the 4 students in that room. Bronwyn, Addie, Cooper, and Nate. One of them is lying. Is one of them a murderer? Now, this one's on my list, but not because of book talk. And book talk did not make me move it to the top of my list. I'm sorry. The Verifiers by Jane Peck. This book follows Claudia Lynn, who has been recruited by a referral-only online dating detective agency. Ooh, that was a mouthful. When one of the agency's clients goes missing, Claudia finds herself breaking the rules to dive deeper into the world of people's online lives and corporate deceit. Book talk didn't make me do this, and I'm still waiting for my library hold. Sadie by Courtney Summers. This book is about Sadie and her sister Mattie, and she's been murdered. Sadie leaves her small town behind and goes on a journey to hunt down whoever did this to her sister and bring that person to justice. Meanwhile, radio personality Wes McCrae catches word of Sadie's story while at a gas station. Now he's tracking her for his own podcast, hoping to find the young girl before it's too late. Okay, so this one was a book talk book I found while searching for this episode, and I just finished it, and it was totally awesome. So book talk totally made me do it. Then She Was Gone by Lisa Jewell. This one is about Laurel, who is a mother of 3. But when her youngest child disappears, the whole family kind of struggles and collapses with the loss. So this is years later, and Laurel has decided she wants to move on. She starts dating a man, and things are going really well, until she meets the guy's 9-year-old daughter, Poppy. Poppy looks exactly like Ellie did when she was that age. Dudes, this book was amazing. If you love mysteries and the real creep vibes that come with a mystery, add this one to your TBR. Now, I'd already read this book before I found it on BookTok, so technically it didn't make me do it, but I totally agree that it's one to read. All right, let's do top five sci-fi books. BookTok made me do it. The Ministry of Time by Kayleigh-Ann Bradley. This book is a real treat. It's basically a time travel romance spy thriller. So what they do is they steal people from the past to see if time travel is possible without messing with the timeline. It is so freaking good. I highly recommend it. The Martian by Andy Weir. My husband made me watch the movie, okay? So I didn't get the chance to read the book. But if the book is half as good as the movie, game freaking on. This book is about Mark Watney, an astronaut on a mission to Mars. And on the way, the ship is almost destroyed. I think I will still pick up the book once the movie's out of my head. Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. Blake Crouch is the master of sci-fi, and this book is epic. So a family man with a crappy career is abducted by a stranger, and he finds himself in a world that is both similar but different to his real life. So this is a show on Apple TV right now, and I don't have Apple TV, and I really want to watch this, and I'm really tempted. Red Rising by Pierce Brown. It's inspired by a longing for justice and driven by the memory of lost love, Darrow sacrificed everything to infiltrate the legendary Institute where the next generation of humanity's overlords struggle for power. I've never heard of it. Doesn't interest me. Yeah. Read that one at your own risk. It didn't. Like, I saw that all the clips, nothing stood out. Dune by Frank Herbert. And I think this one has come back around because of the new TV show. And it's good, the TV show. If you haven't seen it, give it a go. Dune is the story of the boy, Paul, heir to a noble family tasked with ruling on an inhospitable world, but the only thing of value is spice, a drug capable of extending life and enhancing consciousness. Now, I have read the first book. I haven't read the rest. It is something I've been thinking about doing, though, grabbing the rest. Maybe I'll do that soon. Okay, let's do the top five horror books, BookTok Made Me Do It edition. This is my favorite because I really love horror books and finding good ones is really hard. So Horror Store by Grady Hendrix. This book literally has the best cover. And if you're not watching me on video, that's a real shame because you're going to miss the cover. It literally looks like an IKEA catalog. So the novel follows a group of people, store manager Basil and employees Amy and Ruth Ann, who stay out overnight at Orsk to investigate the strange acts of vandalism, only to find the place is haunted in the worst possible way. It was brilliant. It was a brilliant story. Loved it. We Used to Live Here by Marcus Kleber. This book had me hooked, but the ending was ambiguous, and I hate that, okay? So two homeowners whose lives are turned upside down when the house's previous residents unexpectedly visit. You literally never know what's real and what isn't while you're reading this book, okay? It's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Baby Teeth by Zoe Stage. This book was a tad slow, but could you imagine raising a psychopath? One of the things she was getting in the way of the relationship between her and her father. So Hannah is this like creepy 7-year-old mute girl who hates her mummy and wants to kill her. She wants mummy out of the picture so she can have daddy all to herself. Now, it is really slow. And the sequel, in my opinion, was actually a lot better. And you really don't need to have read the first book to read the second. Tender is the Flesh. Oh my God, I hope I don't butcher their name. Agustina Vasilica. This one has been on my TBR for a while. So this book portrays a society in which a virus has contaminated all animal meat. Because of the lack of animal flesh, cannibalism becomes legalized. Lucas, a human meat supplier, is conflicted by this new society and tortured by his own personal losses. Again, BookTok didn't make me move it up my list, so read at your peril. Cabin at the End of the World by Paul G. Tremblay. I love Paul Tremblay books, okay? But for some reason, I haven't read this one yet. I don't know if that's telling or not. This story follows two dads, Andrew and Eric, and their adopted daughter, Ren. They rent a cabin in the middle of nowhere to unwind and decompress. That is, until one day, four strangers show up and tell them a decision must be made to prevent the world from ending. Yeah. They loved it on BookTok, okay? And part of me wants to go find it. And part of me is wondering why I haven't already. Okay, to wrap this up, let's do the top five nonfiction books BookTok made me do it edition. The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, a book about the ethics of scientific research. The story portrayed in The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks points to several important bioethical issues, including things like informed consent, medical record privacy, and communication with tissue donors and research participants. It was really a fascinating book. I kept seeing it on Bookstagram all the time. I had no idea it was a nonfiction until I read it. The Devil in the White City, a book about murder, magic, and madness at the fair that changed America. This book intertwines the true tale of the 1893 World Fair and the cunning serial killer who used the fair to lure his victims to their death. Whew. I don't usually read a lot of like crime stuff, but this one was really well written. Like, I really recommend it. Such a good book. The Body Keeps the Score, a book about understanding and treating traumatic stress. Now, the book describes Van de Kol's research and experiences on how people are affected by traumatic stress, including its effects on the body and mind. Now, I actually have added this one to my list because I think that my husband might really, I think he should read it. Ooh, The War of the Roses, a book about the fall of the Plantagenets and the rise of the Tudors. I love books on the Tudors and the Cousins War, or The War of the Roses. So it's basically a series of dynastic civil wars between the houses of Lancaster and York for the English throne. Now, this book details it all in a really beautifully entertaining way. Now, I am a diehard Tudors fan, so any book really gets me going. So maybe I'm a little biased. France, an adventure history. This one is by Graham Robb. Beginning with the Roman army's first recorded encounter with the Gauls and ending in the era of Emmanuel Macron, France takes readers on an endlessly entertaining journey through French history. Now, this is not my cup of tea, but BookTok seemed to really enjoy it. Now, I'm wondering if that's because BookTokers have this thing about France. I don't know. So what do you think? Has BookTok or any other social media made you buy a book? Or are there books here that you want to read? What was it? Did you enjoy it? Do you ever take recommendations from celebrity book clubs? Are any of these books that I've talked about now on your radar? No, I really hope that you have enjoyed this episode. I had a ton of fun researching it, and I even added some books to my own TBR, so it's all cool by me. If you do enjoy my episodes, please give the subscribe button a hit on youtube.com/@therightkindofbooktalk. You can follow me on TikTok at right.kind.book.talk. I also make book recommendations over there. Instagram is @therightkindofbooktalk. I also have a Facebook page, which is @rightkindbooktalk. And as always, you can email me, therightkindofbooktalk@gmail.com, and give feedback or topics you want to see covered. I'm still waiting for my very first person to want to come on with me and talk. Come on. You can also find The Right Kind of Book Talk on Spotify, Apple Music, RSS, Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Amazon, and anywhere else you can find a podcast. Give me a follow on any of these and you could be in with a chance to win British prizes. Send a friend to my YouTube and they subscribe. You can double your chances of winning. Come on. I seriously don't understand why people don't want free. My stuff's amazing. Have the reading day you deserve, and I will see you next week. This is Stacey Wright signing off from The Right Kind of Book Talk. Have a wonderful week, guys. Take care.